there are two components, right? There are two elements to tshuva. There's the tshuva and the vidui, right? I mean, and that's the question always is, how do they relate to each other? Halachically speaking, philosophically speaking, right? And the Rambam, using the Rambam, you get somewhat mixed messages. The nature of is the essence tshuva or is the essence vidui, and tshuva is just like a prerequisite to vidui. So you have for instance in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph is kol mitzvah sheba Torah bein aseh bein los aseh im over odom alachas man bein bezodom bein shkago kishi yaseh tshuva v'yoshuv mecheto chayev l'svados l'fnei akel baruch hu. So here he just says that when the person does tshuva and he returns from his chait, he has a chiyuv of vidui with svados l'fnei akel baruch hu. And he quotes the pasuk and he says ze vidui dvarim uvidui ze mitzvah saseh, right? Doesn't say the tshuva is the mitzvah saseh. Here he says this vidui is the mitzvah saseh. And what is the vidui? Ketzad misvada omer ono Hashem chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha vasisi kach v'kach v'ri nichamti uboshti b'maisi uli'olam eini chozul dover ze zehu ikaro shel vidui, right? So just Kate, how you misvada, you have to enunciate these elements, right? You have to say before Hashem, I sinned, the different lashonos of sin. I sinned before you, and I did such and such, and I regret it, and I'm embarrassed with my action, and I'll never return to this, right? So that's the ikar of vidui. But kol amarvelus vados who marich v'inyan zeh hareza meshubach, right? So to be marbe is always good. And this inyan being marbe is good. It's not like just a maisa mitzvah that there's a text like you had vidui maiser. You're not marbe. There's a text. Right? You go to the kohen for bikurim. There's a text. When there's an enunciation, sometimes there's a fixed amount you say. And there's nothing to be marbe, but over here you can be marbe in the vidui, right? Not marbe in the tshuva, you marbe in the vidui. Yeah, and also in the sefer mitzvos, the mitzvah is focused on the act of the vidui, right? It's I can give more, I think. Right, he should sivonu lisvados al chaton vavonos shechaton lufnei akel yisale velomar osam ima tshuva. So again, he does combine them. So it is a combination, but it is the focus still is on the vidui. Vizehu havidui. So what does it mean to say it? What does it mean? Lisvados? That's the vidui. Vekavanoso sheyomar again. Ona Hashem, chatosi, avisi, poshati, vasisi, kach v'kach, v'yarech ha-mamer. It's interesting. One thing the Rambam seems to have in the Sefer Mitzvah, that he doesn't seem to have in the Yad, is this element. V'yavakesh ha-machila b'zeh. B'zeh inyin, l'fitzachos l'shono. There's also, he has in the Sefer Mitzvah, he mentions to be mevakesh machila. But again, the mitzvah is the focus of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself is counted as the vidui, right? It's also it's imachuva here, but the maisa mitzvah is really is counted as the vidui. And if you look further in the sefer mitzvahs, the Rambam elaborates from the halachic midrashim that they have this very strange havaminas in the mechilta. Because this pasuk of the pasuk of the vidui itself is by a particular case, okay? And the Gemara, the Mechilta asks, well, how do you know it's by other cases? How do you know this vidui by other cases? Maybe it's just by this carbon. Maybe it's just by this chait, right? And minayin af misos v'krisos, Right? You have to dash in all kinds of things. Kol chatosam l'rabos mitzvahs los asei, ki yasu l'rabos mitzvahs asei. Each element requires another rivui. How do you know there's vidui for this type of chay, for that type of chay? The pasuk itself is talking about one particular case. So you need a rivui to include all the other chatoim. So does that mean that there's a havamina that you don't have to tshuva on the other chatoim? Right? I mean, from that type of a havamina, it's obvious that vidui and tshuva are not synonymous. Right? It's possible to have, possible it seems from these cases, it's possible to say that there's no chiyuv of vidui in certain cases. Right? The vidui is only on particular chatoim. So you can't say that vidui and tshuva are just one and the same thing. Maybe it's just an enunciation of the tshuva verbally. It's just a part of the very of the tshuva itself. It seems it has its own definition as a tzuras ha-mitzvah. It's a particular statement. And if you don't believe me from that, you see the Rambam quotes the strangest possibility. The Gemara says the Mechilta says. It says, Yochol afaneh rogin al pizomnim. Maybe someone who is falsely accused by Adam Zomnim and is about to be put to death, maybe he has to do vidui too. Lo amarti elevi oshma nefeshahi. Ratzaloma shu eno chayev lisvados kishi yoda she ein lochet. Right? Aval huat olav sheker. So you need a drasha for that too? How do you know that if you're falsely accused and about to be condemned to death by lies when you never did a sin, how do you know that you don't have to do a vidui? Would you ever ask questions about tshuva like that? How do you know you don't have to do tshuva if you didn't do a sin? So the point I'm just trying to make the point over here that there is obviously vidui, obviously has its own unique character. It's something separate from tshuva itself, some extra element. And it's really, it's treated, when you say that it's a mitzvah, it doesn't mean tshuva is a mitzvah necessarily. It has a particular quality of an enunciation of these things. But then on the other hand, the Rambam does call it Hilchos Tshuva, okay? and the focus, many places in the Halachos that follow, the focus is really on Tshuva itself. Vidui is not even mentioned many times, right? For instance, the second parak, Ezuhi Tshuva Gemura, right? Focuses on Tshuva. That he was over in Isser and he's Poresh from it and he doesn't do it again because of the tshuva, right? Not because he's weak and not because of other problems. He's in the same circumstance, same situation. So he goes at length to define what tshuva is. And again, then of course he adds in, "Umahi atshuva hu shiyazav achote cheto v'yasirena v'machshavto v'yigmo v'libo shul yaseh od," right? And shnema yazav rosh adarko v'yishav v'machshavosav. So he has to leave it. He has to conclude in his heart not to do it and to leave the chet, and then to have regret. Chen yisnachem al she'ovar. And then Yayid Allah Yodea Talumo Shul Yoshav Lazer Chet Liolam. Okay, that's a difficult one. And then he adds in at the end, Vitzorach Lisvados Bisfosov Alomar in Yonos Elu Shigomar Belivo. So again, there's a confusion again with, on the one hand, Vidui is like a completely separate thing, that even there's a Havamina that it could be without Tshuva, without Chet. But Lemaisa, the way it's treated in the halachos, is like as an afterthought over here. It's almost like an afterthought to the tshuva. Like the tshuva is really the ikkar. And what is tshuva? He even says, what is tshuva? And he puts the vidui like at the end of it. Like a vidui now is treated as like a component of tshuva. So it's difficult. Sometimes the vidui is the main thing, treated like its own entity. And like in the beginning, you know, the mitzvah is vidui, that is the mitzvah. And it's even possible to contemplate vidui without a tshuva, theoretically, according to the drushas, it's possible. But lamaisa we hold, it would seem it's vidui, and for some reason there's some prerequisite of tshuva, but the focus is on the vidui in some cases. And then in some cases, the way it's described is the whole thing is tshuva. Right? Darkei tshuva, you know, the zman of tshuva, sarasimei tshuva, is a good time for tshuva. It's not a good time for vidui. I mean, it's not nothing special over there for vidui. It's tshuva. Tshuva is the main thing. And the Ram says later, there are things that he says, don't think you only have to do tshuva on isurim. There's also tshuva on midos, right? So that's the question. What's the relationship with vidui and tshuva? Is the mitzvah really vidui, and tshuva is just like a preparation for the vidui, or is the mitzvah really tshuva, and vidui is like a component of the tshuva, right? And what's the significance between those? The difference between those two?
Does Rambam use the expression of "b'nei Hashem by tshuva"?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the Koseris he has, and the Koseris sort of combines them all into one. Mitzvah sase achas v'ishe yoshev hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvada. Now he puts it all like into one long thing, right? It's all one big one long thing. Yeah.
In case of the Eden Zomen.
Yeah.
So he says maybe you should be doing.
Yeah.
Does he mean to be doing on that which he was falsely accused of, or just in general for his whole life to be
doing? No, on what he was falsely accused of, because the drush that you don't have to do it is because it says va'oshma. Yochel af haner rogen api zomim lo amarti ele va'oshma ha'nefesh ahi shehu eino chayev lizvados kishe yodasha ein lo chet aval hu ad olo sheker. I mean, what does it even mean?
How do you even do it? You have to say sisichat kamza.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's a very good question. I mean, what do you even need a drush of something like that? What do you need a drush of something like that? Right?
What's the case?
Yeah. That's the case. That's a good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. Okay.
So what's the idea of being marvelous?
I mean, isn't it?
I find when people talk a lot, it's a lack of clarity, or you would think that saying something more succinctly is, or is having something more defined in your mind as you babble.
Right, right.
What's the
right. No, why don't you say no? A guy should really purify in his mind exactly what he wants to say and formulate it in a succinct way, not just go on and on about the thing. Okay. Yeah. So it's interesting. Interesting in the Mor Nevuchim. The Kapach directed my attention there. He has, it's on the Tamei Mitzvos, right? On the chapter of the Tamei HaMitzvos of the first section. So the Rambam says an interesting thing. He has an interesting thing. It's book 3, chapter 36. It says, the commandments comprise in this first class, which are the opinions that we have enumerated in the laws of the foundations of the Torah, have all of them a manifest cause. So the Rambam's going through different causes, different tamei mitzvahs, why certain mitzvahs, the reasons for certain mitzvahs, the benefits of certain mitzvahs, right? So he says, this class, which is basically the laws in the halachos that are in the Yesodei HaTorah, they have a manifest cause. If you consider them one by one, you discover the correctness of this opinion and it's being a demonstrable matter. Okay. Similarly, all the encouragement to learning and teaching, so that's Yisrael Torah. But then also the encouragement to learning and teaching, right, the mitzvahs of Talmud Torah, they're also of manifest utility. Right? Okay, so that's his theme over here. But let's skip down to where he talks about tshuva. So he says it like this. Listen to what he says by tshuva. It is manifest that repentance also belongs to this class. I mean to the opinions with... This is a complicated sentence. I mean to the opinion... Which class? To the opinions without the belief in which the existence of individuals professing a law cannot be well ordered. Okay? So they're important. They're important for the well-ordered... they're important for people who are professing a law. It's necessary for them to be well ordered, to have this, to have the mitzvah of repentance, of tshuva. Why? For an individual cannot but sin and err. It's not possible for a person not to sin or make a mistake, either through ignorance, right? Everybody starts out ignorant. By professing an opinion or a moral quality that is not preferable in truth, so that's an ignorance, or else because he's overcome by desire or anger. So either you're learning, you don't have the right opinion, so you're following your mistaken belief. That's an error. That's from ignorance, or you just overcome, right, by desire or by anger. It's not possible, you're saying, for a person not to fall into one of those problems sometime in his life. If then the individual believed that this fracture can never be remedied, he would persist in his error. And sometimes, perhaps, disobey even more because of the fact that no stratagem remains at his disposal. So what does he say? A person, everybody's going to sin at some point in their life. Now, when the person sins, if he feels that the defect can't be remedied, right? You know, he sinned, so that's a shever. It's a fracture. He calls it. It's some sort of a deficiency. It's some sort of damage to himself, right? Damage to his standing before God. So, if he feels that is not possible to be overcome or to be remedied, right? There's no way to undo that harm. If that's the way he feels, then he'll persist in his error. He'll continue. He'll say, look, it's lost. It's a lost cause. I already blew it. Might as well. There's no reason now to change. I can't undo the damage. Might as well persist in this way. He would persist in his error and sometimes perhaps disobey even more because of the fact that no stratagem remains at his disposal. If, however, he believes in repentance, he can correct himself and return to a better and more perfect state than the one he was in before he sinned. So what's strange about this Rambam? What's strange about the Rambam? I mean, this is generally all of the laws that he has, all the Tamei Mitzvahs he has in this section have the same strange aspect to them. He says, for this reason, there are many actions that are meant to establish this correct and very useful opinion. So the Rambam doesn't say what? He doesn't say what's the reason for this mitzvah, so that a person should return from the chait. He says, it's what?
It's necessary.
No, what did he say? It's to teach you this important idea. Right? He says, it's to teach you this important idea that a person might make a mistake, a person might feel, right? That's what he says. He says, He says, For this reason, there are many actions that are meant to establish this correct and very useful opinion. What does he mean? Why do you say the mitzvah of tshuva is so that you can actually return? Right? Not to teach you this very important idea, but it's actually to return, right? So what's the answer? The answer is because you don't need the mitzvah of tshuva. You don't need the mitzvah of tshuva for the reality of tshuva to exist, right? In other words, certain mitzvahs in the Torah are institutions that don't exist outside of the system of halacha itself, right? Tumah and Tara, things like certain things, Kedushas Shabbos. I mean, certain things without the mitzvah, you wouldn't have the practice. You wouldn't have the reality. Wouldn't be there, right? There's no shmira of Shabbos if there's no mitzvah of a Kedushas Shabbos, right? But these mitzvahs, he's saying, are different. They're not there to establish any, they're not there to create a reality. The reality of sinning and doing tshuva, and tshuva being an effective way to move you closer to Hashem and to rectify any damage or any harm that the chait caused. We see that right away in Brachos. I mean, you see it from the very beginning, right? That's a reality of man. It's not a reality of Torah. It's a reality of man. So the Rambam's point is not why is there an institution of not why does tshuva exist? Tshuva exists because that's the nature of man. Nature of man is he has bechira, he makes mistakes, he can think into things, he can correct his mistakes. That's the reality of man. But the question is, what's the purpose of a particular mitzvah in Taryag? You understand? What's the purpose of the mitzvah? If there was no mitzvah in Taryag, of course there would still be tshuva. Right? But what's the purpose of the formulated mitzvah? Is his question. So he says, that's obvious. Because this information is very important. So you see that the mitzvah on these types of mitzvahs have a very important role. And it's part of the importance of these mitzvahs is sometimes to point out a reality. You understand? Sometimes a mitzvah creates a reality, and sometimes a mitzvah is there to point out a reality, and to bring home, to bring an awareness that you might not have had, right? And the Rambam says, it is for this reason, there are many actions that are meant to establish this correct and very useful opinion. I mean the confessions, the sacrifices, in expiation of negligence, and also of certain sins committed intentionally, and the fasts. The general characteristic of repentance from any sin consists in one's being divested of it. And this is the purpose of this opinion. Thus, the utility of all these things is become manifest. So the Rambam is saying, for instance, the idea of a mitzvah of vidui, right? He mentions the confession, right? That's his question. Something like that. An actual formal tzura of a mitzvah of vidui. Right? He says, that has a very great importance. That has a very great importance. Not so much in terms that it creates a new thing that didn't exist from before, but it highlights something. It brings something out clearly that might not have been understood without it. So in this sense, what I'm trying to say over here is that with this idea from the Mora, I think the question has to be rephrased now. In other words, you see from the Moreh that he's saying that it's not that vidui or the mitzvah itself is the reality of tshuva. It's there to assist in bringing that reality out. It's there to make that reality clear and known. Okay? And it's chosen as the form of the mitzvah, I would say, based on this, it's counted in the minyan of mitzvos. Vidui is counted in the minyan of mitzvos not because that's the essence of what you're doing, not because vidui is the essence of the perfection that we're seeking, but because vidui in some way represents a full expression of the idea. In other words, if you're going to be mona, if a mitzvah is going to be instituted in order to bring out a certain element clearly, bring out a certain concept clearly, then we have to ask, and vidui is what that mitzvah is, we have to ask a different question. The whole premise of the question was, whatever the mitzvah is, that's the important thing. That's what leads to these problems. Well, what's really the mitzvah? Meaning, what's really important? If we have a certain way of looking at things, that whatever is the mitzvah is what is really important, and whatever is hachana is less important than the mitzvah. So then we get confused. Is tshuva hachana? Is it really the mitzvah? Is it really important? Or is the vidui the important thing? But the Rambam is really explaining that's not the right way to look at things. That's not necessarily the right way to look at it. The important thing is obviously the process, the reality of tshuva is what's important. The true idea, the true process that brings a person back from a corrupt state to a purified state. Right, that's the process. There's no question that that's the important thing. Tshuva itself is the important thing.
Wouldn't having that as one of the Taryag highlight this idea even more? The fact that there is such thing as tshuva, so have tshuva be the mitzvah?
Oh. So the question is, what does vidui represent that it is the best expression of this idea? That's really the question. Not how is vidui the sum total, not how is that statement at the end the sum total of the benefit. That's not what it is. The question really is, what does the vidui express? How is it utilized as the mark, as the placeholder of the ultimate goal? I'll give you an example. I was talking with a couple of guys the other day, and maybe somebody remembers when we did a long time ago. But the question was, like the Rambam in the Yud Gimli Karm, he counts Tchiyas HaMesim as one of the Ikarim, right? And when you look through, and he doesn't really say anything about it over there. But when you look through later in his Maimar and Tchiyas HaMesim, he makes it very clear that the reason why he counted Tchiyas HaMesim as an Iker is because it's a nes. And really, the Iker is to believe in the ability of Kadosh Baruch Hu to perform nisim. So why doesn't he say nisim is the Iker? Right? So the Rambam explains, because Tchiyas HaMesim represents the highest form of nes. It's the highest form of nes. We have to go through that. You have to go through that even if you're interested in that. But the point is, sometimes a particular thing is chosen because it points you to the highest idea of the category itself. So if the Iker was nisim, well, there are different kinds of nisim. There's a temporary change. There's within the laws of nature. There's above the laws of nature. There's beyond. There's something that's even apparently Tchiyas HaMesim. It represents the highest form. If you think about what nisim are, and you think in Tchiyas HaMesim, you'll see if you have that idea, then you have completed the category in your mind. And if you just said nisim, a person doesn't really have a thing to focus on. He doesn't really know, well, what do you mean by nisim? Right? What do you really mean by nisim? Could it be the impossible? Could it be a square circle? Or is it just little things? You don't have any reality to gauge it by. You don't have an actual particular to gauge it by. So in a similar sense, maybe you could say that over here that there's something in the vidui that is a representative of the whole category. You understand? It's not that it is the thing, but it does bring in with it it brings tshuva. It represents a tshuva to its highest degree. But the question is, in what way? In what way? Okay. In what way? How does the enunciation? Oh, and basically, so let me just go back to the questions from the Sefer Mitzvahs, and that's how you can answer those havaminas in the Sefer Mitzvahs, because. Now the Rambam is saying that the mitzvah vidui is not tshuva, it's just something that indicates, it's something that's a limud on tshuva. So how do you know where that limud is? How do you know every mitzvah has that limud? Maybe it was instituted as part of hakravas behema. Maybe it was instituted as a prat in karbon. Maybe it was instituted as a prat in Mises Basin, and then you'd have no choice but to do it. It's part of the Seder of Mises Basin. You know what I mean? Now that you're saying it's being used as a demonstrative aid, how do we know exactly halachically is it implemented? You understand? But not asking, it's not talking about tshuva. That's a separate thing. Tshuva is a reality. Right? I mean, that's the first expression of tshuva is by Kayin, right? By Kayin, the psukim over there. So Hashem said to Kayin, it's up to you, right? But the maskana is that it's part of, it's its own mitzvah that really is part of the very part of tshuva itself. Not that it's separated from tshuva as you know, like carbon. Carbon, you bring a carbon for a certain chatayim. So you see, sometimes tshuva requires, sometimes instituted, you do tshuva regardless of whether you have to bring a carbon. So sometimes certain chatayim have an extra demonstration of an extra step of that's part of the mitzvah. Of course, the whole idea of a chatas is also to teach you an idea of tshuva, teach you certain elements of tshuva, but that doesn't mean every single form of tshuva has to have a chatas. So maybe vidu is something similar. You understand? The maskana is no. It's part of every. It's part of the very process. Part of the process of tshuva itself. Okay. So the question is: Let's see if we can answer the basic question then. What is being added? With the enunciation. Yeah. So what do you say? Someone want to enunciate? Yeah. So this is something we started talking about this a little bit last year, maybe, was it? Right. Okay. So one idea that presents itself is, well, speech is always like a clarification of thought. Right? And it's not enough to think it through, but you have to really say it. Like the old questions, learning without speaking, with speaking, you have to make Birkas Torah. Now, there is a certain idea that without speaking, you're lacking a certain clarity. But it doesn't seem like that's what vidui is all about. It doesn't seem like vidui is nothing more than a refinement or a verbalization of exactly the tshuva. It seems it's added to the tshuva. It does seem it's in addition to the tshuva. With the tshuva, you do a vidui. But a vidui is not just like davening is enunciation. But that's just basically, the enunciation is simply a verbalization of the avodah shebelev. It seems that there's something more over here by tshuva and vidui. There is a full process of tshuva, and then a vidui at the end. You understand? It's not a tshuva bepeh. It's not just a tshuva bepeh. The tshuva does seem to be its own identity, and then a separate thing bepeh. You understand? Yeah. So I think that the idea is maybe the idea is something along these lines. The process of tshuva is really a process, right? And it requires a lot of thinking into yourself and thinking into your error. You're thinking into the chait and thinking into the derech hachayim and all of those important ideas, right? But it's an active process. And it has to do with changing your behavior, right? Yazov, Rosh Darko. So there's a derech of chait and there's a derech of tshuva. So it's focused. It's very focused on the actions of on your prior actions and the error of the prior actions. And the truth is, the ikkar is really refocusing your priorities, recognizing what's true and what's false, right? Like the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Mikvos. He says, even though Tumah Zechok and Tara Zechok and the Mikvah Zechok, but there's a great remez that we can learn from Mikvah. And that is that just like a person is Tamei and he goes into the Mayim and he instantaneously is Tar, so too, if a person immerses himself in the waters of Chachma, he can instantaneously change his whole definition. So it's possible for a person to be kone olam b'sho achas. A person can be a sinner all his life, and then have an immediate recognition, an epiphany, and see it was all a waste of time, and change his whole derech. Right, and that would be a valid process of tshuva. I mean, that would be he'd be upset what he did, but basically, it's a focus on what I have been doing and what I should be doing. Right, and that's very important. That's very, very important. It's indispensable. Okay, but I think there's still something that's missing in that whole process. There still is something that's missing in that whole process. That process is really focusing on the chait. You have to focus on the chait and focus on what chait is. But I think there's another important element in tshuva. And that's not a focus on the chait, but a focus on the chote. You understand? You have to also recognize who you have to, after you understand the mistakes and correct them and look for the new way to live your life, you have to take a step back and look at yourself and pronounce and confront who you really are. Confront what you were, what you're capable of. There's a certain element of tshuva that could lead you away from really confronting yourself. And so if you busy yourself with changing your way, but you lack a recognition of who you really were. Let's not focus on that. Let's just, you know, some people are like that. When the problem arises, they say, let's not focus on it. Let's just fix the problem. Right? Let's just fix the problem. Let's be pragmatic. That's not enough in tshuva. In tshuva, you have to, after that whole step, you have to have an enunciation. Lifnei Hashem. There has to be an objective confession. Say, I was this. This is what I was. Chatosi, avisi, poshati levanecha. You have to recognize, in order for a tshuva to be good, you have to have a good, clear analysis and understanding of what you really are and what you really were capable of. And what, if you don't keep within the darkei tshuva, what's possible for you to slip back into. That's why the Ram says, what is the real tshuva? That's not something we can know. We can't know if Kadosh Baruch Hu is made on us or not. It means to say that within tshuva, tshuva is very difficult, and that's why there's darkei at tshuva. You can't ever have the feeling I changed completely, and feel that you're now just on the right path, and there's no more danger. You have to recognize people don't want to think about what they did. They want to just focus on change. But the truth is, you have to confront yourself and you have to recognize what intrinsically you're capable of. That's who you really highlights the danger and the need for the constant vigilance in keeping yourself mindful of the chataim you're susceptible to. That's why the Ram says you do vidui every year, even on the chataim that you already did vidui on. You can't think that I've changed my way and I've made a complete break from that guy in the past. I mean, that's what we try to do. You change your name, but the truth of the matter is, you can't fool yourself. You have to have an honest assessment of that. And speech is essential for that. For that element, speech is essential. Because the derech, the tshuva in your mind, it's all personal. It's just a focus on you have to have an objectification, really. I mean, that's what a confession is. It's not a confession just of what was done. It's a confession of who you are. So in that sense, I think that's the vidui really represents the ultimate step of tshuva, where you're not only focused on correcting your deeds, of course, that's part of it, but there also has to be a confrontation with the self and a recognition of who you are and what you're really capable of. Yeah, Aaron.
Do you think that speech, I mean, you just said that you think speech is necessary for that. I mean,
yeah.
The way I was understanding it, I mean.
And that's what the being marachin, and that's the harezeh meshubach. To really, I mean, look, you have it, you know, you have it even in a regular justice system. You know what I mean? A guy who gets up and has, and goes on and on about how bad he was. You understand? The point is, it's not a matter of, not a matter of just recognizing what you did. It's recognizing who you were, and that's something that you can be marachin. You could really go deeper and deeper into those types of things. And sometimes you can't think it all out ahead of time, and you have to really enunciate it. But that's why the greater the enunciation is, the reza meshubach. It's not just summing up a process you did before. So your question is, if it's just summing up a process you did before, so you should do it good, you should really think it into it and have a nice tight sentence. But it's not. It's its own process. It's its own process of putting yourself on display, so to speak, before God. Not hide. I'm not pretending I wasn't this guy. I'm not saying, let's just let bygones be, let's just go forward with the good now. No. You can't. You have to really bear yourself to, essentially to yourself, but the mice of the dibur is lifnei Hashem. Because that takes on the form of an objective discussion about you. Not about your mice, not about what you did, but about you. Yeah, Mayor.
Yeah, that process, of it all being in your mind is personal, and then
because dibur, speech, especially lifnei Hashem, it's not the process. See, what I'm trying to say is that there's two steps. There's the process itself, and that's you're not thinking about yourself when you're in the process. You're working, you're busy, you're thinking into errors, it's an activity. But then you have to stop the activity, and you have to, the enunciation really is now like a reflection on what you've learned from this whole process of tshuva, but what you've learned about yourself. And you're really the subject over here. Let me just add one more point over here. I think you see this idea also in the end of Perek Beis, because there's a strange halacha that says that if a person sins to his friend and then his friend dies, he has to bring. Before he was able to ask him for mechila, he has to bring 10 people and stand them on his grave, right, by his grave, and say, in front of them, Chatasi l'Hashem l'Kei Yisrael v'l'ploni zeh shasisi l'kach v'kach. The problem is, what does this accomplish? I mean, the Rambam starts out these halachos, he says, that even though you do tshuva and vidui and Yom Kippurim and everything, right, there's certain chatayim bein adam l'chavero, that if you're not mishalem, you don't pay back what you stole, for instance, and you don't appease him, then you don't have a full tshuva, right? Then you don't have the kapara, right? Ein tshuva lo yom kippur mechaprim ela al vero shebein adam lamakom, right? But a vero shebein adam lachavero, like a chovel chavero or makal chavero, right? Or he's gozel kiyotzben. He has to give him back what he took and appease him. Even though he gave him back the money, he has to appease him. Okay, that makes very good sense, right? You do tshuva on your sin, you do tshuva on your failing, and you have to rectify the harm. If you stole, I mean, you could argue part of the very tshuva is recognizing the stealing was bad is being mishalim, right? Okay, and I understand. If it hurt his feelings, okay, I can see that's also part of the equation. But the problem is, what do you do when the person died before you asked him for mechila? Okay, that's it. There's nothing you can do. If the whole thing is to undo the effect of your chate, not enough to undo the cause in yourself, but you have to undo the effect. So that's a very nice idea and makes perfect sense. So you have to pay him back and you have to appease him. But if he's gone, there's nothing you can do. How do you say you have to appease the guy, so if he's gone, take 10 people and stand by his grave and say that you've sinned in front of his sin to him? How is that a way of rectifying of appeasing him? Right? I mean, this is the Rambam we're talking about. So you can't use that other answer. But I think what he's saying is like this. There are two elements in asking mechila from the person. Then he says you give money to his yorshim. And if you don't have the yorshim, you have to give it to the basin. But I think there are two elements in the ritzui. There are two elements in paying him back and asking him for forgiveness. One is the element we spoke of. And that you can't accomplish once the person is dead. But there's another element, I think. And that has to do with what I was saying, Mayor, from before. If a person sinned, he stole from somebody, whatever it was he did, so he focuses on himself in the tshuva. And he thinks into himself in the tshuva, right? But to really appreciate the reality of what you did and the type of person you were, until you confront that other person. Confronting the other person is really a part of the tshuva itself. It's not just an undoing of the effect of the tshuva. It's recognizing what kind of a maisa you did. Recognizing what kind of a insensitivity you had. It's recognizing that you are the type of person that whenever if you did something wrong to a person, you confront them, you feel terrible because you realize the pain you caused somebody. That element that element, objectifying your chet, you understand, objectifying what you really did, is part of the ritzui is also in objectifying what you did, not just saying, okay, I'll avoid that guy for the rest of my life. I can't look at him, but I'll work on my own. I worked on my inner problem, and that's it. I don't want to have to look at the guy. Why? Because you don't want to have to confront him. Because confronting him is really confronting yourself. Seeing him and seeing and going over it and asking him for mechila and recognizing the pain you caused him is really confronting a different element of the reality of what your chet was and what you as a chote were. So in that case, it's possible, even if the person is gone, you can't undo the effect because he's gone, but you can still make it to yourself a clear reality that this was a person of Klal Yisrael, and to make it known in front of 10 people, to make it a reality, to bring out as to go to his cavern as much as you can, as close as you can, to objectify the chet that you did, and to bring it out into a concrete terms. Now, is the point, Meir? The point I was trying to make is that there's a danger of like treating chet like as an academic thing, you know, and philosophizing about this and that, but keeping it academic. There's a certain element of tshuva that it's not just a philosophical inquiry. It's not just philosophical truths. It's also a real practical assessment and a real practical awareness of you. Of course it's all the knowledge. But is also sometimes is a way like of using that analysis to avoid really thinking about yourself, just focusing on more abstract notions. It has to be brought down to a really cold, stark reality, and confronting the guy and asking him for mechila, there's nothing that brings home the reality like that. Well, if you can't do that, there is still an element of that that you can salvage, and that is going to his kever, a makom that brings his remembrance to a clear focus, and making it objective in front of 10 people. So that's what I'm trying to say. That there's two elements to the tshuva. One is the chet, and one is the chote. And after the chet is taken care of, it's not complete until the chote is confronted. So vidui is chosen. Vidui is vidui represents that element, which is beyond just the recognition of the way. And you see that element, I think, in the ritzui of the person you harmed has both of those elements. And when you can't, and in that case, even when if he's nifter already, you can still accomplish the other one element. Yeah.
Would it be accurate to say that the idea of vidui is to bring to mind to the person that they're human and susceptible to mistakes?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I think that would answer the case with the Eidim Zomim well, because even though the guy didn't sin, like his reaction when he's being put to death for something that he didn't do, he's thinking, I'm not a sinner,
right?
But he should still have the idea of vidui that, like, true, you may not have sinned, but you're still a person, you're susceptible to sin.
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, the Eidim Zomim question, we have to think about it a little more. I mean, it would seem that the Eidim Zomim, if you would have vidui, the Eidim Zomim, it would seem to be that it's a different, it has a different character.
Okay, it could also be just that if you can't.